And it gives me an opportunity, and just like Dale said earlier, I thank you so much for the encouragement I get from each and every one of y'all. Title to this morning's lesson is God Wants You. Y'all have all seen this sign before, haven't you? Where Uncle Sam says, I want you, talking for the armed forces. And when I see this sign, it brings up a lot of things. It brings up selfless sacrifice, honorable service, courage, being courageous, doing what it needs to. This sign came out on July 6, 1916, and that's not how old I am, and that's not my birthday. But this sign came out. It came out during a needed time when they needed soldiers to fight a war that was going on, World War I and World War II. They needed people to have that pride and fight for their country, fight for their freedom. And one thing about freedom, it's not free. And that's when I see these soldiers out there, I think of all those things, of how much courage they have, and the honor they have, and the loyal service and self-sacrifice. I think in today's time and age, as our kids are growing up, I don't think they see that pride like that we used to see in America. I think, as a matter of fact, I think some people would probably find that sign offensive today, just the way this world is going. But when I put that up there, I see the same thing. I see that God wants you for selfless sacrifice. He wants you for service and to serve Him. And it comes with honor. And what an honorable service that is to be able to do that, to be able to serve the Lord. But today, I think we have the same problem with this sign. I think some people will find it offensive on it. Because today, I think the Lord needs each and every one of us more so now than He ever has before, the way this world is going on it. You know, when I build a lesson, I always base it on a foundational verse. My foundational verse comes from Isaiah 6, verse 8. And it says this, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. That's the basis of this sermon. That's what the whole thing is. When the Lord calls us, are we willing to answer His call? Are we willing to go say, here am I, Lord, send me on it? If y'all would, go to 1 Samuel, because I want to give you an example in the Old Testament. And then we'll go to the New Testament. I want to give you an example in the Old Testament in Samuel verse 3, chapter 3. And I'm going to read the first 10 verses, 1 Samuel chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord unto Eli. In the days the word of the Lord was rare, there were not many visions. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could not barely see, was lying down in his usual place. And the Lamb of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was laying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel answered, here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, here am I, you called me. But Eli said, I didn't call. Go back and lie down. So he went and lied down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here am I, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here am I, you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lied down in the place, same place. The Lord came, listen to this, the Lord came and stood there and called as he did the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. That's the way we need to be. When the Lord calls us, we need to be able to be like Samuel. Because there are a couple things that you need to realize about Samuel as a young boy. His first response was, when the Lord called, he answered, "Here am I." How many of us today are willing to answer that calling, "Here am I, Lord"? When he went back and he figured it out that it wasn't Eli talking to him, that he was the Lord talking to him, I like this. In Samuel chapter 3, verse 10, he said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." You know, what came with that, as Eli grew up, and it tells us in verse 19, that the Lord watched over Samuel as he grew up and let none of his words fall to the ground. In other words, once Samuel answered the calling, the Lord was with him all the way of his life. Same thing when we answer God's calling. The Lord's not calling us and then leaving. He's going to be with us all the way of our lives. On it. Let's talk about what was just read earlier. When Simon Peter was out fishing all night long. Simon Peter, James, and John. They were fishing and had no luck whatsoever catching fish. Then Jesus come walking along after they pulled their boats upon the shore. And he said, "Let me borrow your boat because I got to speak to all these people." So Simon Peter took him out on there. And once when Jesus was done, he turned to Simon Peter and says, "Carry me out a little bit further and cast out your nets." Of course, Simon Peter said, "Hey, look, Lord, I've been trying all night long. I've been casting my nets out all night long with no success. But because you said so," that's the key point, "because you said so, I will cast out my nets." And when he cast out his nets, it overflowed the nets. It was tearing the nets. So James and John had to come over, and so many fishes began to make the boat sink. Of course, Simon Peter went down on his knees and saying, "I'm not worthy, Lord. Leave me. I'm a sinful man." But what I want you to realize on this before we get any further in this is that so often in life we cast out our nets trying to solve issues and trying to solve problems in life, trying to handle it our way. And so often when the Lord tells us, "Hey, listen to me, do it this way," our attitude is, "I've been casting out my nets all this time and with no success." But when Simon Peter cast out his nets, he had so many blessings that overflowed the nets and overflowed the boats on it. And once we listen to the Lord. But in verse 10, when Simon Peter said, "Lord, I'm not worthy," this is what he told him. He told him, "Do not be afraid, for now you will be catching men." A greater calling. You're not catching fish anymore. You're going to be doing something a whole lot more greater in life. On it. And what was Simon Peter, James, and John's response? In verse 11, he said, "So they pulled their boats upon the shore, left everything and followed him." They left all those fish, left all those boats, and they followed him without hesitation. And basically what they were saying is, "Here am I, Lord, send me." That's what they were doing. So my question's for you this morning, for the basis of our lesson, is how do we answer God's calling? Just like Simon and Peter, Jesus doesn't come up to us today in the physical form. And Samuel, we don't get to hear the Lord's voice like Samuel got to hear. So how do we make this happen? Well, there's three things you need to make this happen. If you want to answer God's calling, this is what you got to do. First of all, you got to listen. You got to be able to listen to what God's word is. Second of all, you got to examine your heart. You got to be willing to listen to what God tells you. So you got to make sure that you have room in your heart for the Lord. And the third and most hardest part of it all is you got to surrender to the Lord. You got to give in your life to the Lord. First thing on the slide you see, it says, we cannot obey God until we first listen to His Word. I want y'all to turn over to Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. We're actually studying this in our men's class on Wednesday nights. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Brethren, my heart desires and prays to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God, they sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that they may be righteous for everyone who believes. The Israelites didn't want to give up the old law. So basically what he was saying here, they weren't listening to God. They weren't listening to what he had, his calling for them. Let me point out, they had a zeal for God. And let me point out to you, you have a zeal for God or you wouldn't be here this morning. Am I not right? But are we listening to God? Because, you know, Hebrews, later on in Hebrews chapter 10, it tells us this is the verse a lot of us already knows. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got to listen to what's in the scriptures. Being here this morning doesn't make you a listener. Being here doesn't take away from your zeal for God because you wouldn't be here. But are you willing to follow God this morning? We got to examine our hearts. We got to make sure that we're listening to God's word and accepting each and every part of God's word this morning. It says in Proverbs 23:26, "Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways." Whose ways? God's ways. And he's asking for your heart from the very beginning, that for you to accept him and his word and his truth. 2 Corinthians 13:5 tells us this: examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? He's in your heart. Unless, of course, you fail the test. How many of you can remember back going back to school? And when you take a test and the teacher says, well, today you get to grade your test. So she passes the test back out to everybody. I've been there, I remember it. And she going over the answers. All right, answer number one is A. I look at my paper and it's B. You know what? B's awful close to A. So I sit there and race that out and I mark A. And we go through that test. And we at the end of that test, we're doing just fine. Because we get to see what the answers is. Examining ourselves is the easy part. We have to start off by examining ourselves, but that's the easy part. We got to look at our lives daily and every opportunity we can. Sometimes we're just like that test. Man, I'm off a little bit, but I'll fix that. And we'll correct that. The hard part comes in Psalms 26, 2 through 3. Test me, Lord. Try me. Examine my heart and my mind. For I have always been mindful of your unfailing love, which you talked about earlier today. Always is unfailing love. And have lived to rely on your faithfulness. Now, that's a true test. When you pray to the Lord and you ask him to test me, see if I'm being faithful. Try that prayer for once and see what occurs. Are you willing to let the Lord test you to see how faithful of a servant you are? Let him examine your heart and your mind to see where you're at. Now, that's a true test. It's a hard test because the Lord, you ask the Lord to do something, he's going to do it. He's going to test you to see how strong you are. Then you got to surrender. Because once you ask the Lord to test me, Lord, you're saying, I surrender myself to you, Lord. So when you got to do that, you got to surrender. We all know this verse, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. This is even a song that we sing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. With how much of your heart? All your heart. What part does that leave out? None. You're right. With all your heart. And lean not on whose understanding? Our understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall what? He will direct your path. You've got to lean on God. You've got to surrender to God and let Him lead your path in all things. And that's hard because it's easy to do it right here and now. It ain't easy doing it out there each and every day of our lives. But we have to surrender everything to the Lord. We've got to surrender in this way. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. This is a hard one too. We got to be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently. Basically, what He's saying is when you surrender to Me, you have all faith in Me. So when you're facing those trials and tribulations in your life, that storm is just trying to blow you down, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to stand still. We're supposed to say the Lord's got this. So when you're sitting in the middle of all that storm and it's blowing so hard on you, you got to have enough faith in God that He will act on your behalf. You know, each and every one of us has struggles. Everyone in this room is affected with struggles this morning. If you're a Christian, you're affected with struggles because Satan fights that battle, does he not? He's after you each and every day trying to make you stumble and fall. And each and every one of us knows our own weakness. And our Heavenly Father knows our weakness. But when we come to those weaknesses, we got to have faith and lean on the Lord and let Him act on our behalf. And that's surrendering to Him. And that's a difficult thing to do. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it tells us this. Come to Me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I don't know how many of y'all ever went hiking before up a mountain, but I have. You carry that backpack, and man, it's loaded down with everything you're going to need. By the time you get on top of that hill or that mountain, you take that backpack off, you lay it on the ground, and whew, ain't not a better feeling than when taking that weight off. Especially these soldiers who carry these backpacks. At the end of the day, take that backpack off, and wow, what a relief. But you know what each and every one of us do there in this room? It's human nature. We wear a backpack for life. And we have a problem forgiving somebody. We take that and stick it in our backpack. We have a problem helping a brother and sister and we know there is a need. We take that and stick it in our backpack. We have a problem with family members and struggles. A man, those brothers and sisters, physical families that are upsetting us. We take that upset and put it in our backpack. We struggle with life. We take it and put it in our backpack. Before we know it, we're leaning back with so much weight on us. And the Lord just telling us, say, surrender to Me that you'll take all those trials and tribulations and turn them over to Me. But they're mine, Lord. I don't want to give them up. They're my struggles. But we have to be able to surrender to the Lord and willing to do that. If you're having problems forgiving somebody, turn it over to the Lord. You're having problems giving on the first day of the week. Turn it over to the Lord. You're having problems being here for Sunday school and Wednesday night. Turn it over to the Lord. And when you do, and I'm telling you, when you do, when you give it to the Lord and you finally let go, whoo, what a feeling that is. Not having those weights and those burdens on top of you on it. But we got to be able to surrender to the Lord in that way. First Peter 5, 6, and 7 tells us this. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Realize God's hands is a whole lot mightier than ours. That He may exalt you in due time. You know what that says? When we turn everything over to the Lord, He's going to exalt us. He's going to lift us up. Why? Cast all your cares upon Him. For He cares for you. Oh, what a powerful statement of realizing that the God's going to take care of us. That love that you were talking about earlier today, that love He has for us, has been since before we were even born. God had a love for us. I'm missing a slide. All right. We can work around it. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. It comes down to a question, and that's what it had on there is a question. The question of ability. Let me ask you, do you have the ability to forgive? Do you have the ability to help a brother and sister in need? Do you have the simple ability to be here on Sunday morning when we open the doors for Sunday school? Do you have ability to help somebody in need financially or physically, be able to help somebody? You know what's there with ability? There's a word that you can add to that. It's called responsibility. You would have seen responsibility slide into the thing. Then if you have the ability to do these things, the ability to forgive one another, the ability to help a brother and sister in need, the ability to be here when the doors open, the ability to give on the first day of the week, then you have the responsibility. You know, when I was saying that everybody has their own struggles in life, and you know what your struggles are. So if you have the ability to forgive somebody, to help somebody, whatever your struggles are that Satan's pulling on you, you have, as a Christian, the responsibility. We're all responsible for that. With that, I'm going to leave you with another question. You know, with that requires a response. When you know you have the ability and you know you have the responsibility, now you have a response, a responsibility to respond. Let me tell you what the answers are to that. I'll give you the answer to the test this morning. You're going to say, "Here am I, send me, Lord." You're going to say, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Or you're going to say, "Not today, Lord." Let me tell you, when you say to the Lord, when you're struggling with something, "Not today," let me tell you what you're doing. You're robbing God. You want to know why you're robbing God? I hear it from this man all the time. Because today's the Lord's day. I'm not just speaking about Sunday. Every day's the Lord's day. It's not our day. It's the Lord's day. It belongs to Him. So when He calls us and we say, "Not today, Lord," you're robbing from God. So when you face struggles and trials and tribulations, and you got to listen, you got to examine your heart, and you got to surrender. You got to realize that day belongs to the Lord. And when you take that day away from the Lord, you rob God. And I don't want to be there when we rob God. You know, I left everybody in this room with some type of response because I know what my struggles are. And when I started studying this lesson, I realized there's a lot of things I need to work on. But I know we're all in the same boat. We all have struggles that we fight because Satan works on us each and every day on it. So, with that being said, you got to realize something. We're all in it together. So we can all help one another. But you do have a requirement to respond this morning. Personally, whatever you need to, you know what your struggles are in life. Dale's going to come up forward up here in just a moment to take any prayers that anybody needs. You're facing struggles and difficulties. Remember, you're not the only one. And then we can all work on it together. None of us are perfect. But when we take in the mentality that this day doesn't belong to us, that it belongs to the Lord, then I need to work on answering that calling. Like, I love that verse in Samuel. "Speak, for your servant is listening." "Here am I, send me." Or do we say, "Not today, Lord"? If there's anything that we can do for you this morning, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.